Gentle technical colleagues back there, I think we're ready for affiliates call-in now, please, at this time. If you could announce who you're calling and what signal area they're from or anything that would be helpful in identifying to whom we are speaking, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Rick Anderson from...
I'm sorry, what is the name?
Rick Anderson.
Okay.
KZFR in Chico. He's the station manager.
Chico, California. Okay, fantastic. Is he on the line? Let me know. Thank you.
I'm going to try to. Well, I'll
have him. Are we on the stream?
Hi,
Rick. Is this Rick Anderson?
Yes.
Hi, this is Summer Reese, Chair of the Pacifica National Board. Thank you for joining us today.
Sure.
For the stream, could you go ahead and tell us your call letters in the city you're in? And
Yes, I mean... Chico, California. Call letters are KZFR.
Thank you. Well, please tell us something about your affiliate and your relationship with Pacifica. We're very appreciative of having you call in today.
You know, I would say by and large our relationship with Pacifica is great. And, I mean, we mainly use it for acquiring Democracy Now!, we also run a variety of programs that are put in audio port, and sometimes we run programs, and sometimes we try to be as live and local as we can, but in a lot of instances in a small town like Chico, programmers or DJs can't make it in, and we run Pacifica programming in that situation. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, everything's great. I mean, audio port seems to run pretty smoothly whenever I need to use it. And, I really have no issues, whatsoever with Pacifica. And I'm glad to be on board. I'm happy to be part of the Pacifica family and network.
Thank you. How many years have you been an affiliate?
Oh, man. We've been on the radio for exactly 22 years now this July, and I would say almost all of, I would say at least 15 years of that, doing some form or another. If I'm not mistaken, when we originally started out, we rebroadcast, the Berkeley station, KFDK. I'm pretty sure we did. I can't remember exactly that exact history. But one way or the other, we had a lot of help from Pacifica folks along the way. I've been here, you know, 4 years or so, but I mean the relationship with Pacifica has been long and strong, and people before me set a lot of the stuff up that I kind of use right now. So you know, I think they were very wise in doing so, and you know, as far as I'm concerned, there's, you know, you're an invaluable asset to us. So,
thank you so much. We have questions from a couple of our board directors. I think both of whom are on the affiliates task force. We've got Heather Gray and then Campbell Johnson. I mean, sorry, not Heather Gray, Teresa Allen. Sorry, I'm just thinking affiliates here. I'm looking over at my affiliate people. Okay, thank you, Teresa Allen.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for calling in. I guess I have several questions. One is, how many staff do you have, and what kind of training do they get? Do they go to GRC? Are you on the GRC listserv? And my third question is, have you received the survey? And if you haven't filled it out, do you want to tell us now? I guess I'll be asking you later, but you could tell us now. Is there anything that you need from Pacifica, or, you know, tell us from out there in the field, what do you want more?
I did get the survey, and I did send it in. I got the second version when somebody said that only 15 stations had responded or something like that, and I immediately responded. It's Sunday afternoon. It's 105 in Chico. I have one full-time office manager. I have a full-time underwriting person, And then I have three part-timers. My news director, who's part-time. I have an operations person, who's part-time. And then I have some more technical help that's also part-time. We've got engineers that we borrow from KCHO here in Chico, and they are on call. And other than that, it's 100-something volunteers. And, I would say if anything that, and this is kind of the thing I kind of reach out to just about anybody I can when I have the chance, is some kind of help with working with volunteers we do all kinds of different things here, and it's always the same people who help out. There's a very dedicated core of people. And my thing is, I want to increase the size of our tent to include more people and volunteers too, not just listeners, because I can't keep asking the same people to do everything, and they'll also get burned out and not want to do anything, and there's that whole thing, and it's, so any kind of help with motivating and keeping volunteers is always something that I can use at KZFR.
Thanks,
so
Rick.
I don't know how that can relate to Pacifica, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just that's just me reaching out, and maybe that's something that more than one station needs, and that's something that we could all collaborate together on in different ways. But
I don't know whether I don't know whether we can, sure. Rick, but we'll get on it.
Okay. I mean, as long as you're aware of it too. I mean, I'm sure that you suffer from the same kind of things too, or have any of the radio stations that you've been associated with. It's I don't have a whole lot of people that I can pay, and that's the way it works. I knew that coming in.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Next is Campbell Johnson.
Yes, thank you, and so wonderful to have you on with us. I'm co-chair of the Affiliates Task Force, and, of course, there are a zillion things that I'd like to ask you about and whatnot, but in terms of what you were just mentioning in regard to motivating and keeping volunteers, you may be aware that we're in process of launching an e-newsletter, and this is a voice that we hope will be used by our affiliates to a great extent, and through which we can share best practices and improve our operation. Do you think that would be of some value to you?
Sure. Yeah. I think that would help. I think that's a good way to get the word out. We try to do that here, and with our volunteers and our programmers too, in ways of communication. And I like that.
Okay. Second thing I was inquire about is that we're looking at having a presidential election coverage, and would you be interested in, say, downloading or involving some of this in your particular, for your station, say, if we were able to make that available to you?
Yes, I like that a lot. I think that's important. Whenever... last time, I think in 2000, I can't remember. I've requested a few times for folks to see if Pacifica was covering State of the Union when Obama did that a couple of times, and I think some other stuff too. I like that. I like having that on, and I think our audience is interested in that too, and wants to hear it from us, because they know they can get it unfiltered from us as opposed to Fox or whomever. But I think that's a good one. That's a good thing. I like all of that.
And this is one of the things that we're so pleased to do, and that's to be able to give folks the truth about what's going on without it being varnished and whatnot. Are you familiar with our Sprouts offering? And I was wondering, if so, have you taken advantage of that at all?
I have not. I'm kind of only vaguely aware of it. I have heard of it, but I couldn't tell you what it's about. So That's probably not good.
Probably not.
Well, so it's like, yeah, I've heard of it, but I don't know what it means.
Okay. Well, let me ask this then as a final kind of question here. In addition to the work with volunteers, what would you say are some of your, say, a couple of your major challenges that your station is facing right at present?
Well, I mean, of course, you can always say, you know, finances and securing, you know, stable donors or having a stable donorship program. I would say finding and attracting major donors too has been something that's always been very difficult for KZFR. We've kind of been the redheaded stepchild in this market, and the other KCH gets a lot more love from the bigger outfits than we do. But you know, I've done my own little survey online, and I'm finding that probably 60% of, I've had like 300 respondents to my little survey, and like 60% of the people who respond said they make under $30,000 a year. And that's kind of, that's pretty much poverty level in California. Yeah. And certainly Northern California, and maybe almost anywhere else. And, you know, I'm beating them up with pledge drives a couple of times a year, and honestly was thinking about doing 3 pledge drives in 2013. But, you know, and then we do a bunch of fundraisers. We talked Jackie Green into doing a free concert for us in August. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a constant battle of keeping the plates spinning and that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, the old Ed Sullivan show, I'm old enough to remember that, and I'm not trying to date any of you, but, you know, the plate spinner guy on the Ed Sullivan show is your basic general manager in a small market community radio station. And, you know, I mean, that's the kind of thing I'm trying to, you know, constantly find and secure more funding. And, you know, kind of once I've got one thing, you know, reeled in, I've already thrown in the bait for the next one.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, fishing is an analogy, but you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of, That's kind of it. So,
well, I'd love to go fishing with you sometime. Let me share you with our
Campbell,
other co-chair.
Campbell, we have other people also that are going to call in
on the line already. That's fine.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're giving it over to Heather. Is that what?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Campbell.
And
thank
our
you.
Other co-chair is Heather Gray, and you may be familiar with her already, Heather.
Hi, Rick.
Hey,
we so appreciate you calling in. I just wanted to ask you a quick question. We might ask this of almost everyone. I know you were talking about your fundraising challenges, but are you seeing a difference, change over the years in listener sponsorship or people donating on the whole? Are you seeing it? Are fewer people doing this than in the past?
You know, it's kind of tough. I mean, when we were in the worst part of the economic downturn, in the first part, I thought we were going to be really just up the proverbial creek on the pledge drive that started it. And amazingly, our listeners came around and came in and we did fine. I mean, we're hitting our goals just barely missing them by a few thousand dollars. Mm. But what happens is that, they don't always send it in. And it's probably, that varies from 75% send them in to 85% send them in. So there's always a few folks who just don't complete the pledge for whatever reason. But,
that seems like a good percentage to me, actually, so.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not, I agree. Yeah, it's not bad. Our fundraisers, by and large, are successful. But I think that's also, with all due respect to us, I think it's because we do a good job with it. We know how to do a show. We know how to do an event. And, that's a plus for us, is that we know what we're doing in that regard and can figure out ways to make money on it. And, you know, when we have an event, you know, we don't ask people to sell tickets for us, we actually charge them for selling tickets for us, because we're going to be on the radio telling people that, hey, there's the XYZ KZFR benefit concert. Tickets are available at Lion Books. I mean, you know, I got somebody in the store for them. So that's of value to them too. So we try to make money on stuff like that, and we try to find creative ways of doing that. We brought in StoryCorps into Chico, and we made $5,000 in sponsorships on that. And that's, you got to do stuff like that. You can't let opportunities slip away. You can't kind of leave money on the table if you see stuff like that. And you know, I mean, the good news is that we're doing good work and that people support us and they want to support us and they realize that, you know, we KZFR needs their support in order to stay on the air. So I mean, I'm lucky they love us, and you know, I say that almost every day.
Thanks and, so much.
You know,
I think we have a few more questions, Rick. I'm sorry, interrupting you.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think we have a few more questions.
We do. Thank you, Rick. We have two more people have questions for you, and then we'll have to go to our next affiliate. I have Afia Wangaza and then Revlon Gold. Thank you. Thank you, Heather.
Hi, Rick.
My
name is Afia Wangaza. I'm the senior affiliate director rep here, and I'm delighted to have you call in. It's a slot that I fought vigorously to create and to maintain, so I'm glad to see it used. We're all concerned about fundraising, and I'm particularly, as a low-power FM, relaunching our station and desperately looking for money, glad to hear that you all are being successful in generating funds. My questions are, what is your primary source of fundraising, one? Two, we often hear that events are not good fundraisers, but you seem to have figured it out. So how many and what kind of fundraisers do you have each year, and what percentage of your income is generated from underwriting?
Let me see. A lot of stuff. Underwriting is about $120K a year for us.
Wow.
Of a total budget of $300 or so. We get about $75K from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Fundraisers account for a pretty significant part of it, and you know, we figured out a little while ago that we're a music station, or that people listen to us primarily for music. So we're not concert promoters per se, but we're not afraid to talk to an artist and see if they'll give us a good deal on coming here, or do it for free. And for whatever reason, Chico gets a decent amount of people wanting to go through here. And, you know, you can do it. You can, if you get the right venue and you do the, and like I say, you get people that know what they're doing and can put on a show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way. But just like I was saying too, StoryCorps, things like that come into town that aren't always there, you should always try to find a way to sell it to some degree and create sponsorship packages for it if people are interested in that. And that requires having a fairly decent underwriting salesperson that has relationships, and that's what selling is. It's developing and keeping and cultivating relationships with people who will trust you, you know, and want to be part of the radio station too, and that believe in community radio for us. That's part of it. Some of the message of community radio is not just like, hey, I can put butts in seats and stuff like that. Now we're really selling the message of community radio and supporting the good work that we do and bringing on stuff like Democracy Now and the things that just aren't available anywhere else. I mean, that's the sell on it. And for low power too, I mean, especially, we're lucky here in Chico. Sierra Nevada Brewery makes Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, and they have been a fan of this radio station since day one. They're now in their 30th year. We're in our 22nd year. And back in the day, they would give us a keg of beer, and we would go over to somebody's house and have a yard sale, and people people would come over and bring stuff to sell, and we would sell beer, and that's how we paid the PG&E bill. I'm really not kidding. And it's almost like, you know, especially if you're in a low power world or a smaller world like that, you gotta find somebody that loves you like that. And I don't know how you do. For us, it was just serendipity. It was just, you know, like I said before, luck. And they probably give us $15K a year, still. I mean, just in, they match one of the shows in the pledge drive that's probably worth about $5,000. They buy another $5,000 a year in underwriting. And then they let us have the big room, which is their venue. They're a totally classy 330-seat venue in the brewery itself. They let us have the room a couple of times a year, and I'll make $4,000 or $5,000 on each show for that, too. And, you know, I get the door, they get the beer. How simple is that? you know. So anyway, I mean, that's kind of how we roll. And, you know, other than keeping expenses to a minimum and, you know, a skeleton staff. But I want to get the tent bigger. I know that if we have a bigger audience, we'll have more donations. You know, my thing now is I've had the same kind of program schedule in effect for way too long, and it needs to be literally modernized.
Wow.
And a lot of my people on the air are like me, you know, they're 57 or older, and our audience, you know, or at least people in our age group still kind of do this old 70s trip of playing a half hour music and, you know, doing a 5-minute back sell. Before that it was this, and before that it was that, and before that it was that. And I keep trying to tell them that people don't listen to the radio like that anymore, man. And you gotta break it up, and you gotta identify the radio station more often, and you know what I mean? And you gotta be a little bit more active than sitting there and playing a half hour of really good songs, though, by the way. So increasing your audience and getting as big an audience as you can has been you know, my thought to increasing donors and that kind of thing too. I think it'll all go hand in hand. I'm amazed that we've been on the radio for 22 years in this small little town, and there's still people that don't know who we are. And every day I meet somebody that doesn't. But then, you know, every day I see five people who love us, too. So I'm doing the best I can to use other forms of media, you know, billboards to increase awareness. During Pledge Drive, I have a TV commercial that I trade out. And I just, you know, using that kind of stuff to just, like, you know, increase the size of the tent. I keep going back to that because it's, you know, I want to include a lot of people, and we've got a lot of diversity, and we've got a lot of different things, but, you know, I still realize that it's not for everyone, and that it's an acquired taste, and getting people to listen for a week is pretty hard, you know?
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. I believe Member Wangaza has one more question, and then we have Revelin Gold and Ali Lexa each have a question, and then we'll have to. Thank you.
My question is how many events a year do you have? And thank you very much. I'll be calling you for more consultation. Thanks again.
I would say per year maybe, you know, at least 8 now. We had it lower than that before, but at least 8. And I don't want to do one a month, but sometimes there's, you know, there's 5 months in a row where there's one a month.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Thank you.
You know, and we do a bocce ball tournament. We've discovered that people like bocce up here, and that's another one that we do, and that has been in 7 years in a row, just made $7,000.
I'm down with bocce.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Revelin, I had a question, and then Ali.
Okay. Hi, this is Revelin Gold from WPFW in Washington, D.C.
Hi.
I have two questions, quick. The first one is, what is your flavor, if you understand what I mean? Your flavor. Who's your constituency? What's your flavor? What are you, I mean, are you...
Oh, constituency. I would say it's generally white, but it is fairly, it's older. I mean, it's, yeah. I would say, like I said, my little survey has now hit 300 people, and the majority of the audience is 40 plus, 40 to 65, with the higher rank in the 50 plus. It's generally lower income, and even 40% of those people who have responded don't contribute to the radio station. Chico is a kind of a whiter town. It is, it's an odd spot. Will Durst, the comedian, has described it as the cherry tomato in a sea of blueberry soup. You know, and it is. It's a very liberal town surrounded by super conservative Northern California Valley Republican type folks.
Wow.
So,
thank you.
It's an interesting town.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And my second really quick one is that I'd like to get a copy of your survey that you sent out. So I'll be in touch with you, or you know, through the affiliates committee, or
actually, it's online. You could take it online. You can see it online. It's from SurveyMonkey. It's at our website, kzfr.org. Just scroll down a bit from the opening page and. It's pretty simple, but I can show you the results. And, you know, I actually paid a few bucks for it, too, because I like the fact that you can do more than 10 questions and for a small amount of money. And
right.
They make pie charts, and it's downloadable and blah, blah, blah. But SurveyMonkey, I'm sure there's other brands out there that are pretty cheap, too, but that thing worked fine for me.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Ali, Alexa has a question for you.
Hi, this is Ali from Los Angeles.
Sorry, SurveyMonkey came up earlier as an issue. It's why I'm cracking up.
Why'd you hang up on it?
United Nations uses SurveyMonkey.
Summers.
I didn't hang up. Are we hung up or are we back on? I presume we didn't hang up on him on purpose without saying goodbye, right? We have two. We have two more people. Well, that was kind of rude. You know, like, we just dropped the guy like a hot rock.
Someone can.
Yes, I am rude.
No, I don't mean you meant it. I didn't mean you did it intentionally, Otis. I mean, I'm sure you did.
Yes, you got.
No.
Otis, would you like to participate in listener comments?
I presume that was
actually. Are we still streaming?
Hi, stream.
Yeah, maybe SurveyMonkey turned it off. Darn that SurveyMonkey.
God, my eyes hurt from laughing so hard.
The United Nations.
Can we take the next person?
Well, they're trying to get somebody back on the call. I just would have liked saying goodbye to him and thanking him for his time. And I thought Ali had a question. I just, you know, normally I try to.
Say goodbye.
Of course, and thank you. And
but they can say goodbye. We got a lot to do. They can say goodbye.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, Rick. Sorry about that. We didn't mean to cut you off like that. Ali Lexa had a question for you. And if we could, everyone, shh. Thank
okay.
you, Ali. Sorry about that, Rick. This is Rick still, right? Yeah. Go ahead.
Hi, Rick. Sorry, I was in mid-question. Just two quick questions. I notice on Sundays you have several shows in Hmong. Is there a big Laotian population near you?
Actually, there is. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. There's a decent amount. I don't know exactly the numbers. Primarily, yeah, we have on Saturday morning, we have 2 hour, or is it? No, it's from 6 to 9 of Hmong programming in Hmong, and then Sunday from 6 to 8. So 5 hours a week. There's a decent amount of Hmong here, and it's primarily not in Chico, in some of the outlying areas, and in a town called Oroville, which is to our south. And, I mean, it's a significant population, and we are the only station that has anything remotely for them at all. The hosts speak in Hmong, they provide news. It's
That's
primarily
great.
An older audience, though. It's an older Hmong audience. It's not necessarily the younger, and we've been trying to find ways to attract a younger audience, too. And, in fact, we actually get our Hmong shows are completely sold out with underwriting.
Wow.
Because there are people that want to be on their shows specifically directed to their audience. We've actually even gotten some government money a couple of times too for a couple of programs that were specifically targeted to our Hmong audience.
Okay, and just one other quick technical question. I noticed you also have really large amount of music programming. Are you using a service like Sound Exchange or similar for your music reporting?
We're using Spinatron. We've got Spinatron, I think, and we do report to Sound Exchange.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you so much, sure. Mr. Anderson. We really appreciate your speaking to the board today. We appreciate getting feedback from our affiliates and knowing what they do with the programming, what kind of stations they have. And anyway, we'd just like to thank you for your time today. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Take care. Thank you all.
You too. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
I'm calling you.
Thank you, Otis. Tell us when we have the next one up, please. And if you could be so kind, and to whom will we be speaking?
We're going to talk to Todd Fisher Wallen.
Okay.
DRT, Baropa, Wisconsin.
Todd Fisher Wallen.
Wisconsin, for those of you who know.
I hear they've got radicals out there.
Baropa is pretty radical.
Todd Fisher Wallen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wisconsin?
I couldn't keep the call letters, that's why I'm going to ask. First question. Call letters in the city. I allowed an hour knowing things run over time. I just wasn't letting spend 35 minutes of it necessarily on one person. But alas, there we are. Yes, but if you notice the next agenda
Hello?
Starts an hour later just in case.
Hello.
Hello, hi. Is this Todd Fisher Wallen?
Pardon?
Is this Todd Fisher Wallen?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Summer Reese, Chair of the Pacifica National Board. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Could you go ahead and tell us your call letters and what city you're in, and then tell us something about your station, please?
Well, I'm with WDRT in Baropa, Wisconsin. We're a rural station. The community that we serve is about 4,400 in the actual village. One of the unique things about us is we are run completely on open source software. So
Yay.
Even our studio to transmitter link is based on commodity PC hardware, and it runs on open source software.
Wow, that's very interesting. Excellent. So you're low power FM, yes? Or are you not?
No, we are full power, but we're only 480 watts ERP at this point, though we are investigating a power increase.
Fantastic. I believe we... And how many years have you been... how many years have you been a radio station? How many years have you been affiliated with Pacifica?
We've been Pacifica affiliate since we first went on the air. We will be celebrating our two-year anniversary in September.
Oh, congratulations. Fantastic. I think I may have some questions from board members. Do I have a Fia Wangaza and then Campbell Johnson? Thank you.
Hi, Todd. My name is Fia Wangaza. I'm the senior affiliate board rep and the founder of WMXP-LP in Greenville, South Carolina, and we're in the process of moving. Well, we've moved our tower, and we're relaunching our station, so we're real concerned about, as folk are generally, but we are especially about fundraising.
And so if you talk a little bit about you all's fundraising efforts and what you see as your strengths and weaknesses, that would be helpful.
Well, fundraising has definitely been one of our weaknesses up till this point. We finally managed to hire a business development person to take care of underwriting and grant writing and so on back in, April. And she's come on board, guns a-blazing, and really turned things around in the last few months. In our last two pledge drives, it became very apparent that not having a membership person on board was a big issue. And so our pledge drives and thus our membership numbers, even though we've finally hit 500 members, is really struggling. And working on the budget for next year, it's becoming apparent that we're probably looking at a deficit budget for our third year.
Are you associated with a college or a university?
No, we're not. We're completely independent. We have not received any CPB funding as of yet, and though we probably will apply for it this fall if it ever becomes available.
How would you say that Pacifica helps you, has been helping you in realizing your goals?
Oh, boy. One of the big things is the quality programming that we're able to source from Pacifica. We actually have, we're about 60% local produced content with 40% being filled in by syndicated content. And the Pacifica content is oftentimes what we're looking for. And so that's a big component of it. The other major component is, which I think Pacifica could do a much better job of within the affiliates program, is just the resources of other stations, being able to pick up the phone or send an email and to other affiliates and getting information of, you know, what's your what's your programmer's handbook look like, what kind of auditing are you doing, and so on.
Thank you very much, especially for calling in. This was a vehicle that for which I fought to establish and continue to fight to maintain, and I'm glad to see it being used. So do keep us informed. We like direct communication between the affiliates and the board. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Next person with questions is Campbell Johnson.
Hi, Todd. I'm Campbell Johnson. I'm co-chair of the Affiliates Task Force, and I'm with the WPFW radio station in Washington, D.C. And I was wondering, we're looking at offering some coverage of the national presidential election. Would this be of interest to you in terms of your community?
You know, I think some of it might. I am not our program person, so I can't answer that in full. We do have a programming coordinator, but he does have programming committee that he relies on pretty heavily to try and make Democratic decisions about what we do carry for programming. Being in a rural community, we have a unique situation where we have a fairly young portion of our community that's moved in from areas such as Madison, which you know is 40 square miles of liberalism surrounded by reality in the state of Wisconsin. And we also have a much older generation of families that, you know, have farms going back 120 years, and they have much more conservative views. And Pacifica's news coverage oftentimes tends to be highly liberal, which to a certain extent helps balance the things compared to what's in the rest of the area. However, we don't want to alienate that other portion of the community. So that's one thing that it really depends on the content.
Okay, I was wondering, it seems so you have a rather diverse community there. What would you say your major challenges as a very new radio station and, you know, getting up and up to speed and offering services to your community? What would you say are some of your major challenges?
Well, I would say one has just been the learning curve of being a new station and the learning curve of community radio, all the legal aspects, the technical aspects, and so on. The other major challenge is that divide between one portion of the community and another. Because we were community radio and offering something different, that newer portion of the community really latched onto us, and a lot of the people that were involved from the beginning were a part of that. However, that's only about one-third of our actual population group, and we strive to appeal to and serve the entire community. And it's been very difficult finding ways to reach across to that other portion of the community, the older portion, which I myself am part of. So it's not just older in terms of age. It's older in terms of how long they've been there.
Okay. One thing, and I don't want to be trying to announce this as though the cavalry is coming to town or something, but we're starting newsletter and revising our website for affiliates so that we can provide more of a vehicle for cross-pollination insofar as shortening that learning curve to some extent. So I just wanted to mention that possibility. I'd also like to share with you, you may know or may not know yet, Heather Gray, who's one of our directors and also co-chair of the Affiliates Task Force at Pacifica. Heather?
Thank you, Campbell. Todd, thanks so much for talking with us today. You were talking about some of the challenges of deciding what kind of programs you're going to have in your rural community. So what programs do you take from Pacifica?
Let's see. I'm trying to, you know, I'm not the one to answer that because I'm not sure which ones are Pacifica programs. I know, of course, Democracy Now!, which we run at noon every day, is. But we also, I know we cover, we use Robert Wolf's
which
we get through AudioPort. I'm not sure.
That's Richard Wolf, right? Richard Wolf, The Economist.
Robert Wolf.
Robert Wolf.
American
okay.
Mosaic.
Oh, okay.
We also, I believe we get Bioneers through AudioPort.
Oh yeah, good. So, yeah, so actually, let me just ask you: are you taking quite a few? Are you having programs relative to agriculture then?
Yes, okay. We do. One of the issues, though, is that a lot of the programming that we get that's agriculture related is very, very heavy on what I consider personally, and the programming director and myself and the programming committee. I brought it up several times, and they're really looking for another, some other sources such that the programming is very, very, heavy on promoting, organic, which does go over well where we're at because we, of course, have Organic Valley in our backyard. They're, 15 miles up the road. So, and we have more organic farmers in our county than any other county in the United States. So,
wow.
But the programs come across very critical of traditional farming. And a lot of our traditional farmers in the area, it's not necessarily because they dislike organic farming. It's just that transition is very difficult to make. And so it's very, I think, oriented towards speaking to the choir instead of and being very critical of those that aren't already doing it.
Well, let me just ask you. I'm going to jump in here for a moment because we're also interested in knowing a little bit about the challenges you face in fundraising. So, how many fund drives are you having during the year?
We're doing 4 pledge drives a year. We just had our summer one, which was it was kind of thrown together last minute and put on a little close to our spring one as we were trying to get back on a regular schedule. A big thing for us is we have the powerhouse of Wisconsin Public Radio covering the state so well that we really have to try and get in before their pledge drives. So that's one thing. We've noticed that we can bring in as much money on a 3 or 4 day pledge drive typically as we can on a 6 day pledge drive. People tend to get just tired of it after a few days.
We know about that.
one thing that we do is we will interrupt some of our syndicated programming when we have our pledge drive.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things like Bioneers, American Mosaic, stuff like that, we will interrupt. And what we do instead is we bring in local musicians or other local, you know, semi-celebrity type people to do live on-air pledging. And getting the live local music on during our pledge drives is that extra incentive that actually keeps people tuned in during the pledge drives. And we will often get, it's not uncommon for us every pledge drive to have a handful of second or third pledges from the same individual or family because they were listening in and, oh my God, that band was just great, and they had to pledge again, you know, and that second pledge may be quite small, but still, you know, every little bit helps, of course.
I want to thank you so much. Summer?
Yes, thank you, Todd. Could you repeat your call letters of your station again for us?
WDRT.
DRT. WeDart, huh? Okay. Thank you so much, Todd. We really appreciate your calling in and sharing your thoughts and experiences with the National Board. It really helps us to get feedback on how the network is able to serve the affiliates around the country. So we thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
And thank you for listening.
Okay, great. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Members of the public, before we proceed, we were scheduled for 3 affiliate call-ins. The first one took significantly longer than originally anticipated. Would the public mind bearing with us so that we can call our 3rd affiliate? We'll run a few minutes over, but you'll have all your time. So, all right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Otis, could you go ahead and get our 3rd affiliate on, if possible, please, and that person's name? Bobby Tryon, okay.
And the radio station is KKRN in Bella Vista, California.
We're sorry.
Or not.
You have reached
Thank
the
you.
Number that
okay.
has been disconnected
Thank you,
or is no longer in service.
And we know how that goes. It's okay. Thanks, Otis. And now for a moment of silence. Thank you. No. Seriously, meditating on air, that is one of the most favorite things, is when the radio goes completely silent, and I'm like, it's on purpose. We're meditating on air, because occasionally we do that. It's like John Cage, you know? Pieces of blocked silence. It's the space between the sound. I have it. Thank you, Otis. KKRN, Bella Vista, California, right? Okay. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
May we speak to Bobby Tryon, please?
This is her.
Hi, Bobby. This is Summer Reese, Chair of the Pacifica National Board. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Sure.
Thank you. Could you go ahead and tell us the call letters of your station and where you're located?
Yep, it's KKRN. And we're located in Bella Vista, well, station's actually in Round Mountain, but it's KKRN Bella Vista, California.
Thank you. Please tell us something about your station and how long you've been a radio station and how long you've been affiliated with Pacifica.
Yeah. So.
Thank you.
I myself was involved in a radio station in Chico, so I was pretty savvy on a lot of radio stuff and certainly about Pacifica. And I knew Ursula for a long time through KZHFR. So then I got tangled up with this little radio station about, oh gosh, now what, 6 years ago. And we pieced this whole thing together, got a PTFP grant, and we were able to put together a very nice radio station. We got about 80,000, that we had to come up with 80,000, and the PTSP grant was 80,000. So we have a nice little radio station in a building behind a community clinic, out on Highway 299 between Reading and Burney. There's nothing in this town except a post office, this big giant clinic, which is where I also work, and a little store. So we're 28 miles from Reading, which is a pretty good-sized city, and we're about 25 miles from Burney, which is a smaller little place but certainly more populated than Round Mountain.
Thank you. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, so we basically did pancake breakfast, and the people that were involved in it also put in a fair amount of money as a contribution. And then when we got the grant, we were a singleton, they call it, so that we, well, this was just to back it up, we were lucky enough not to have anybody competing for our call letters and our frequency. So that was a lucky break. And we got the PTFP grant second time. We applied for it once, didn't get it, and got it the second time, which was the second to the last one. And then we basically went on the air. I had worked with Ursula to get KZFR to be a Pacifica affiliate probably 5 or 6 years or maybe more before that. So I knew very clearly that I wanted us to be a Pacifica affiliate. And we're a little lefty-leaning, and everybody wanted Amy, Democracy Now. And so... then I, of course, got AudioPort, and I use it all the time because the radio station is not all automated. There's only like 7 or 8 actual live programmers. We have a big automation system where we download shows, and every day I program 24/7 radio. We have an arrangement with a fella that has a... internet radio that we plug in when we don't have any programming, but that's now getting to be really just, 10 at night until about 6 in the morning.
Thank you. And you're not a lower power FM, right? You're regular full power?
Yeah, we're 600 watts, so we're full power, and our antenna is a mile high, so we actually, we were amazed at how far we actually broadcast. We go down the 299 corridor and then down I-5 all the way to Corning. I mean, it's 100 miles or better. I mean, we've got really good coverage for our wattage.
Where'd they get it?
Thank you. I believe I have members with questions.
Okay.
I have Teresa Allen. Thank you.
Hi, Bobby. How you doing?
I'm good.
I wanted to know if you had received the survey and if you filled it out, and if you, whether or not you have or not. I hope you fill it out. But I want to know what ideas do you have that we can better support you from Pacifica? What more do you want? Is there any certain things you need?
Well, let's see. What do I want? At this moment, I can't thank you enough for what I've got, because being a station that's automated, a lot of it's just amazing what I can use and what I use. And Otis has been like, every time I call Otis, he's there for me. And, he doesn't always know the answer, but he's always answers. He always picks up and he always talks to me. So at this point, really, I'm good. I'm telling you, I'm good.
Thank you.
Well, let me ask you, will you be taking elections coverage if we offer it?
Well, Now here is our, here's the problem that we have. We, no one is actually at the station most of the time. I am there 3 days a week, but I work at the clinic in front of the station, so I run back and forth and do things. When it's something like that, it's, I have to kind of arrange it. As to whether we would do it, we might. But I have like a little program committee, we would have to talk about it, and there'd have to be somebody willing to kind of sit there with it. And that part's a little tricky for us. If there were, you know, in real time, it, we would certainly take time to put things in if I can download them and have them ready to put them in. Certainly at that period of time, there's going to be more interesting things to put on the air. But as far as doing it right when it's happening, that would be a little trickier. The way we do AMI, Democracy Now! Democracy Now! Comes in live for us. I guess they call it an RSS feed. I'm not quite sure, but we, she comes to a barracks box. We switch over to her feed, and she comes live through in the morning. Everything else that we do, we go to AudioPort and download it, and in the next week or two, we're going to take Al Jazeera, the half hour of Al Jazeera, in the morning. And so my automation system has to go pick it up, download it, and put it into my system for me. So that's a tricky thing. But we do that. We do that with everything.
Let me ask you, one more question before I get off personally. So what's the reaction been of the community? How many listeners do you have? How many supporters? And have you heard any reaction to Al Jazeera coming up yet?
Well, you know, and we wanted Al Jazeera from the beginning, but our first thought was, don't do it. You just hear the word Al Jazeera. And we are out in, I would say we're a percentage of 60-40, of 60-40 conservative, 40% not, you know, a little bit left-leaning, and that's right in the community. Actually, in the community, it's probably 70-30. But Reading, which is this weird little city that doesn't have a four-year school, is, we used to jokingly call it a goat rope city. It's pretty conservative. But there's, the people that have found us are so grateful that we are there. And I think what happens for us is, we do music kind of sprinkled in, and we do some country kind of music, so we keep sort of the local folks that like that tuning in for when they want it. I'm sure they tune us out when we do. We do Tom Hartman from 5 to 7 every day. We do Native Americans and Calling from 7 to 8 every day, or, you know, Monday through Friday. And in the morning, we do Al Jazeera and Democracy Now! We're going to do Al Jazeera and Democracy Now! In the morning. And then we have another band of Eco Shock, you know, kind of not, we try not to have it be a particularly political band, but, you know, People's Pharmacy in there. But we kind of keep the local people coming along with the music, I guess you'd say. But the folks that know about us in Reading, they really love it. So, if supporters, well, it's funny, it's mostly us, but more, it's growing. We've been out a year, We've had two pledge drives. We raised, I think, $6,000 or $8,000. The first time we had, we just recently had a one-day pledge drive, a birthday pledge drive, and we raised $1,000 in a day, which we were absolutely thrilled about. But, as I'm saying, you know, probably 500 of it was people, all people I knew. But it takes a long time. We feel optimistic knowing that 1 year on the air is nothing. We also stream, so we, you know, keep plugging that also.
Thank you, Bobby. I've got Afia Wangaza next, and then Campbell Johnson.
Hi, Bobby. I'm Afia Wangaza, the senior affiliate rep on the PMB. And thank you so much for participating in the call-in. It's a vehicle
sure.
that I fought to create and to maintain, so it's good to see it used and to be able to participate in it myself. I'm the automation system or software that you all use, is it open source or is it commercial, proprietary?
Yeah, it's called, It's BSI is the name of the company. That's the automation system. It's the system we bought from BSI. They're in Oregon, and it's called Simeon.
It's called, would you spell that?
Simeon.
Uh-huh. Okay. With regard to fundraising, do you all do events and underwriting as well as pledge drives?
Yeah, we do. We do underwriting. We have about 10 underwriters. We have a signature event. We do a really great pancake breakfast, which we've done probably 12 of them. And that's Amy Goodman came to Reading and we did a fundraiser with her. So yes, we're doing all of those things. Mm-hmm.
What kind of events do you have?
What kind of what?
Events.
Pancake
events.
Breakfast.
The only events that we've had are pancake breakfast, one dance, and the Amy Goodman speaking. She did that. She came as a public TV bus and one other thing, and we were able to do that. But we don't do. One of our problems is that we're out so far. Mm-hmm. You know, in the, between these two cities. And so for us to drag all our stuff in somewhere to do a fundraiser. So we pretty much stick right there in that little town and do, like I said, mm-hmm. people come out to it. It's known, pretty well known. Mm-hmm. This pancake breakfast we do.
We're, my station is WMXPLP in Greenville, South Carolina, and we're relaunching after having to move our tower. So we're real anxious to find out exactly. We're real anxious to find out what other stations are doing in terms of generating funds, and we appreciate your sharing your experiences with us.
Thank you, Bobby.
The money thing is a little scary for us at times, but we're under the umbrella of a nonprofit that's kind of dissolved in a way, and so the radio stations now become more of what they are. And it turns out that they had a little money, so that kind of went into our coffers, I'd say. You know, we're able to use that. Sometimes when we have an event, we're very discouraged and we feel as though we don't make any money, but, you know, we make 1,000 to 1,500 each time, or 800 to 1,500 each time. And we, you know, we're all just these dedicated volunteers that give their time to do it, so we do it. But as far as that goes, it's a good question for us too, how to make, you know, not work so hard and make bigger amounts of money.
Thank you, Bobby. Campbell Johnson has a question. Thank you, Fia.
Hi, Bobby. I'm Campbell Johnson, and I'm a co-chair. I'm not on.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, okay. I'm co-chair of the Affiliates Task Force, and I'm from WPFW in Washington, D.C., and I just find it so remarkable that you have such antenna coverage and everything, and I was wondering what sorts of things have you initiated or are you looking at initiating in regard to outreach to draw these, you know, thousands upon thousands of volunteers and supporters, let them, you know that you're there.
Yes. Well, one of the things we do is we have gone to a number of events and set up a booth. We do definitely do that. And we have a gentleman that does a little solar thing, and he puts his computer up. And now that we're streaming, they can actually listen to us. So we do a fair amount of that, cabling, I guess you call it. Basically, that and our fundraisers, and we have ourselves in a newspaper. We have a little local newspaper that's in Bella Vista. And so we made a deal with them where we do a little advertising and put a different show on every time the paper goes out twice a month, I think it is. But it's a pretty good looking paper. It's not like a real rinky-dink one. And, you know, we do something there. We always talk about things that we'd like to do, but we don't do much more than that.
Okay, let me ask you this. In terms of major challenges, do you see maybe any value in being able to have presidential election coverage this season?
You know, I got to think about that for a minute.
Yeah, I think you did answer that, Bobby.
Yeah, I think you did answer that in a sense.
Yeah, I'd have to work on that one. Yeah.
Okay, right. So the...
Yeah.
Did you have... Okay, go ahead. And
I'd like you to also chat with our very good friend and co-chair, Heather Gray, who's right here as well.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks so much. It's great talking with you today. I want just to ask you about your underwriting. I'd like to know a little bit about who is underwriting your station and how do you get the underwriting? Do you have someone responsible for that?
Yeah, we have a volunteer. He's a retired school teacher, and he just kind of took it on. And he created basically the whole package for us and did a nice professional job. And then he goes out and he speaks to people and kind of does he's a little more aggressive. You know, I wouldn't even call him aggressive, but he feels kind of responsible for that. Now, we all, when we sit around to each other, say, oh, we're going to get underwriters. Well, that's certainly not the way that it goes. You don't, as a person, just go, oh, by the by. So we have the people that we have now. We have about four or five people from the other small town to the east, and most of them are from Reading, which is the bigger town. Probably 70 or 60% of them, which is what, five people, they do it because it's community radio, and they're going to support community radio. You know what I mean? That's probably, I'm not quite sure actually if any of them, well, I know that a couple of them are. They're advertising because they want to advertise and they think it's a good way to get out there. Most of them do it because they love community radio. And like I said, we have 10. We've lost a couple from when we started, but we've gained that number back again. This gentleman that does that, he's kind of busy in the summer, so right now he's not doing a whole bunch about that. It's one of our questions. How do we go out there and get more people to underwrite? That's a discussion we're having, for sure.
Well, thanks so much for that. Summer?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Bobby. And your call letters are KKRN, Bella Vista, California, right? Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We appreciate the feedback from our affiliates. We'd like to know what they're doing with the programming, how we can serve them better, and we appreciate you giving us your time today. So thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, check us out online. You can kind of see what we do. We use a lot of what AudioPort puts out a lot.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, we're glad to hear that because it means that, you know, all the hard work that everyone does within Pacifica benefits a lot more communities. So thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
Certainly. All right.
Okay. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.